Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, Let Us Reflect. Today our topic is piety through understanding. Piety is very important in Islam. It's a means of attaining salvation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Piety, it entails many other elements. It's not just one word which has a one word meaning. It actually has many meanings or many understandings connected to it. And this is why today, inshallah, we will cover some aspects of what is meant by piety, or what has been written about piety, or what has been said about piety in the Quran and Sunnah. Before we mention any of these things, and before I explain why our title is Piety Through Understanding, I would like to share with you an excellence of sending peace and blessings, a prayer of blessings, salat ala Nabi, Durood Sharif, as we commonly refer to it, in favor of the best in creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is mentioned in Nasa'i, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, whosoever sent blessings upon me once. So whosoever expressed a prayer of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam just once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 mercies upon him. 10 of his sins are forgiven or erased, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upgrades him or elevates his rank 10 times. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Piety through understanding. Piety is a common theme in Islam, and I would like to begin by mentioning some verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, addressed the believers specifically, and instructed them to adopt piety, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the nature of this fear is that they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He has a right to be feared. حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be feared. We must express a level of piety or awareness of the fact that we must have this feeling of fear in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be a feeling of fear. There must be a feeling of consciousness. There must be some awareness in terms of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, and He shall judge us. But what is meant by fulfilling the right, or by fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be feared? Remember, when it comes to verses of the Quran and prophetic traditions, we relate the understanding of the scholarly figures, the authoritative figures in the religion. One should not expound on verses according to his personal understanding. Whatever is related is linked to narration, tradition, which has been reported, which has been written. The verses of the Quran have been explained by our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah. It is mentioned in Tafsir Tabari, in light of the verse that was mentioned, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refrain from sin. So this understanding is not that you're just trembling in a state of fear where you're trembling and you're shaking. That's another element, or that's just one element. When someone really understands when someone has some insight into the reality of life and judgment and accountability. Yes, he will tremble. He will tremble with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this particular commentary, in this particular tafsir, it is mentioned that fear of Allah here refers to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining from sin. So the realization that we have a duty to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to refrain from sin. Expressing fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He has a right to be feared, what is meant by the expression, or as mentioned in the verse, حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, what is the tafsir of this? Three elements are related to this point in tafsir Tabari. It is mentioned that the fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be feared, or fulfilling or attempting to fulfill that right, it entails three elements. The first, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obeyed, not disobeyed. Second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be thanked. People express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not ungrateful. And the third element, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be remembered, not forgotten. So those three elements are mentioned in the commentary of what is meant by fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be feared, or the right of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entails the three elements: obedience, gratitude, and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another expression from the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the people, fear Allah as much as you can. So it's not a case of this is not something which has been mentioned lightly in the Quran. This has been emphasized. When you do something to the best of your ability, or you're instructed to do something to the best of your ability, that is an emphasis. So the emphasis here is that people fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of their ability, or people adopt piety to the best of their ability. They don't have this half-hearted approach to developing a piety or righteousness or the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the tafsir of this, it is mentioned that this means, O believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear the outcome, meaning fear your personal outcome. Fear the outcome of your deeds, fear the outcome of your actions. Complete the obligatory elements of the religion and refrain from sin, thus saving yourself from punishment. So that is the commentary of this particular expression. Towards the end, it is mentioned that you should do such deeds that bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this idea of closeness or nearness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not something physical. This is something, we can call it spiritual, but it's an expression to say that to attain acceptance or a greater level of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you increase your level of piety. Another famous verse of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, O you who believe, fear Allah and say the truthful word, which I translate in light of or in the context of tafsir. The truthful word is to be spoken. And it's interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified speaking the truthful word right after piety or fearing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these both elements are linked. In the tafsir of this particular verse, or one tafsir, it is mentioned Sayyiduna Kalbi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he reports that this explaining this sadida, that the part of the verse, he says it means the truthful word, means speaking the truth. And Sayyiduna Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, and he says that this means justice. So one should establish justice. So whether it's the meaning of truthfulness, or whether it's the meaning of justice, or both, we should understand this verse in light of what our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, explained. Sayyiduna Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, and he also says that one should be fair in all his speech and in all his affairs. So whether you are speaking to people, whether you are addressing your students, whether you are addressing your employees, whether you are addressing those who have rights over you, or vice versa. In any given situation of speech, you are fair. In your affairs, general affairs, you are fair also. So a father, if he is giving one child something and he's not giving the same or equal to the other child, then obviously this is being unfair. There should be a level of fairness in something as simple as that. The serious matters are obviously even more serious. But again, I say that, but I don't mean to belittle the importance of fairness among children. Because if you're not fair among children while they're young, believe it or not, deny it at your peril, they will grow up thinking that I was not treated fairly. And this might actually reflect in their character. Yes, certain things are specified in the Sharia or recommended. For example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed someone with daughters and sons, the daughters are given the preference. And it's interesting that even in the culture, in society today, there's the expression ladies first. Now, Islam had already mentioned an element of this through the prophetic traditions, where our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified that daughters are to be given that special attention because of their compassionate nature, because this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made their compassionate hearts, and in recognition of that, they are given that preference in terms of they are considered first. But again, there's no unfairness between the children. It's just a case of giving them that special right or special attention. This was encouraged by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because unfortunately, one of the reasons being that in that era, daughters were not given that love and that right. In fact, people considered it to be some kind of bad omen, Allah forbid, that a daughter was born in the family. Daughters were buried alive in the age of ignorance. We know about these things. It was quite normal in that age of era of ignorance. So Islam really emphasized the compassion and love to be expressed to daughters in such a way that our Prophet ﷺ gave glad tidings of paradise to people who raise two daughters, or even raise a single daughter well, nurture her, supervise her upbringing, paradise is for them. This theme is mentioned clearly in prophetic traditions. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we express the instructed or the recommended manner or etiquette related to our daughters. Now I would like to mention a verse of the Quran which can be looked at or considered to be a standard in terms of living. If you truly adopt the teaching of this verse or the instruction of this verse, life will make a lot of sense. It will put your in personal endeavors into perspective. Any problems that you face, it will put them into perspective. If you truly reflect upon this verse and you truly follow the instruction of this verse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you salvation. What is that verse? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, whosoever fears Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall give him a way out. Yes, in any given situation, this is what people say today. I'm stuck in my problems, I'm facing obstacles, I don't know what to do. Increase your piety or establish or create some kind of piety within yourself. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increase your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfill the obligations of the religion. Refrain from sin. Remember that was the understanding of taqwa or fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given by the scholarly authorities. That it's about obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining from sin. Both are the same in essence. So when you increase that, What would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make, grant you a way out, will create an opening for you, will create a way of salvation for you. And it doesn't end there. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Not only will He grant you sustenance, not only will He give you, provide you sustenance, He will give it to you in such a way, in, from an unimaginable source, a way you can't even imagine. You wouldn't even think of the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaching you in the way it will reach you. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why look left and right? Why cry to others about your problems? Why complain about your problems to other people? Increase your level of adherence, increase your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a way out for you. If you make this verse this your standard for living, if you make this verse your main guide in terms of, one of your main guides in terms of your approach to life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you contentment. Sadr al-Afadil Alama Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Muradabadi, in the commentary of this verse, he mentions that whosoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a way of salvation. And explaining this, he says that those who are obviously affected by the grief and the concerns of this world and the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create salvation for them in this regard, and they shall be protected from every feeling of distress. Yes, by fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or becoming, adopting righteousness and piety and increasing your obedience to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the strength to face your problems in life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ways out for you. So people who are asking for ways out, I need a way out of this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire you to find that way out if you increase your level of taqwa, if you increase your level of piety. Now some people, they listen to verses like this and they have this attitude, oh, that's just like any other verse. And, they within themselves, they say, well, you know, it's just like many of the other verses or prophetic traditions similar to that. So people say, I'm not sure if this will really happen for me. For people who are thinking this, it's my request. You have to try something. You have to make an effort before you come to a conclusion. You can't just dismiss something or abandon something like this, especially if it's an instruction, if it's something which has been emphasized in the Quran or Sunnah. You can't just abandon it or turn a blind eye because you don't want to put the effort in. Put the effort in. You ask people who are striving in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do they feel? You'll often see people who are striving to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have attained contentment. They may not be the richest in the world. They may have their personal difficulties and hardships which they face, but their attitude to life is a very positive attitude. They see dunya, this world, for what it is. They don't have high hopes of achieving things for worldly pleasures. They simply want to live good lives, lives of honesty, piety, so that they succeed in the hereafter. Helping other people, assisting other people in the process, being generous as they can be, as hospitable as they can be. All these things are part of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try it before you deny it. Or if you're not denying it, try it before you turn away from it, or you continue to drift away from it. Don't drift away. It's time to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Too much time has been wasted. Months have been wasted, years have been wasted in negligence, in heedlessness. Isn't it time for us to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When will we heed the advice given to us? When will we accept, truly embrace the message of Islam, the encouragement in the prophetic traditions, to do good, to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be sincere and steadfast in terms of repentance. Don't think about tomorrow, think about now. This very moment in time, do not let it go to waste. That good intention which may have entered your mind right now, Allah knows. Follow that through. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore that good inside you. Don't ignore the conscience. It's still there. It's not dead yet. It's somewhere there inside you, that something inside you is asking you to just come back and leave all those bad things that you may have been doing. All those bad, evil intentions which you have. Abandon the evil and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He may create a way of salvation for you. And this verse which was mentioned, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentioned this specifically. Yes, he specifically mentioned this verse, that if people, they hold on to this verse, they preserve this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this itself would be enough to fulfill their needs. Remember, the lesson of the verse was this, that if you increase your level of piety, you increase your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you increase your righteousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a way out for you, if that's what you desire. A way out of your problems, a way out of your distress, a way out of any calamity. Increase your level of piety. And the promise further on, that you shall be given sustenance from an unimaginable source, from a source that you can't even think of, that you wouldn't have considered. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specified this verse as a means of fulfilling the general needs of people. So don't ignore this and try to adopt or fully embrace the lessons that are learnt from this particular verse. Now I would like to share with you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which explains the title of today's session. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قيل يا رسول الله من أكرم الناس. It is reported by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that once it was said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is the most honorable of people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, أَقَالَ أَتْقَاهُمْ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the most pious. Because this is again a theme which is mentioned in the Quran. So who is the best of people? The first answer, the most pious of them. فَقَالُوا لَيْسَ عَنْ هَذَا نَسْأَلُكَ. The companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they expressed that this is not what they were asking about. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, قَالَ فَيُوسُفُ. It is Yusuf. And he explained, نَبِيُّ ibnu نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ ibn نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ ibn خَلِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, Yusuf, he is a prophet of Allah, the son of a prophet of Allah, the son of the Khalil of Allah, meaning Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then answered the companions by saying, if you're asking about the most honorable of people, it is Yusuf, who himself is a prophet, his father is a prophet, his grandfather is a prophet, and his great grandfather, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, is a prophet. قَالُوا لَيْسَ عَنْ هَذَا نَسْأَلُكَ. The Sahaba, they said, we're not asking about this. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, قَالَ فَعَنْ مَعَادِنِ الْعَرَبِ تَسْأَلُونِ. Are you asking me about the people or the families of Arabia? And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered the question himself. He said, خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقَهُوا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the best of them in the age of ignorance are the best of them in Islam if they have attained understanding. So considering this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they questioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam about the most honorable among the people. The first answer they were given was the one who is the most pious or righteous among them. The second answer they were given, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, due to the fact that he was a prophet himself, his father was a prophet, his grandfather was a prophet, and his great grandfather was Khalilullah Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he confirmed with the companions that they were asking about the families of Arabia or the people of Arabia, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that those who were the best of them in the era of ignorance are considered to be the best in Islam, as long as they have an understanding of the religion. Now, this is where our title comes from, piety through understanding. So you have piety, but in Islam there is another aspect of tafaqquh fi ddeen, having the understanding of the religion, meaning being a scholarly person. This hadith and that particular part of the expression, if they have an understanding, meaning an understanding of the religion, there are opinions and commentaries related to the whole hadith and especially this part of the hadith. One opinion is that it refers to the fact that if they are scholars of the religion, then that honor which they had in the time of ignorance, they have that honor in Islam. Another concept which is mentioned in the commentary or the commentaries of this particular hadith is that Islam does not negate the nobility of a person before he embraces Islam. So if a person had a particular social rank in his community before embracing Islam, even after embracing Islam, that will not be taken away from him. He will not be stripped of that nobility or that standing among his people, whether it's leadership, whether it's the nobility amongst them, that will stay in its place. Islam will not remove that from him. In fact, Islam will actually add to that. And if he becomes a person who understands Islam and attains an understanding of the religion, this will increase that honor even more. The Quran has mentioned the standard of honor among people. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, indeed the most honorable among you are those who are the most pious among you, the most righteous. That is the standard of who is more honorable. And this is why our Prophet ﷺ gave that answer of the most pious among them. Very first answer which he gave was in light of this theme of the Quran. And then when the Sahaba kept asking, the Prophet ﷺ answered in different aspects related to their questioning or their line of questioning. A famous word which is used in the Islamic terminology is fiqh, and it's a word which is mentioned in the prophetic tradition in some form. Now, fiqh, in terms of literal meaning, it means deep understanding. And the applied meaning of fiqh, or one definition which is given, is knowledge of the Islamic rulings derived from their detailed sources. That's more of a technical definition that is given. But in light of the hadith which was mentioned, this understanding of the religion, this knowledge of the religion, this elevates an individual. So someone who had nobility in his previous life, I say that meaning before Islam, and then he embraced Islam, that nobility or that social standing or that respect and honor that he had previously among his people, this will only be increased through the sacred knowledge which he attains, the understanding of the religion. If he becomes a scholarly figure, it's almost like he's become elevated to an exceptional degree. Now he had honor before, now his honor is even more because of his faith in Islam, and especially because of the fact that he attained the knowledge of the religion. The knowledge of the religion, the understanding of the religion, is something which elevates the status of an individual, whether it's someone who is seeking that knowledge and walking upon a path of sacred knowledge, or someone who is teaching this knowledge to other people. This is a privilege and this is a means of attaining reward and elevation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we not only attain piety, we attain piety through understanding, with understanding, we attain true piety, which is piety with sacred knowledge. We do not separate both things. Both things complement each other. So part of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowing how to be obedient. So if you don't have the knowledge of the religion, then your obedience is limited. or you may err in your obedience. But if you have the knowledge of the religion and you continue to strive to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the prophetic way, that sacred knowledge will be your guide, or will enable you to follow the Sharia, Islam, in the best way possible. This is why we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we attain piety through understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life.